Thank you for joining us here at Christ Fellowship for our online message podcast.
Welcome to Christ Fellowship. Anybody excited to be here this morning? Yes. I was excited yesterday. I got to go to Neyland Stadium and I was excited. I got to go there and it was amazing. I now know, like I said when I first came here, a little bit more about your idol in your life. That's a joke. We can all laugh about that. As you can see, our idols let us down often. It was a rough day yesterday. So I'm so proud of you guys for coming out this morning, though. It's really great. It was a rough day for me to watch as well. But it's a new day. God's mercy is every day. And we're going to be praying for Butch Jones and the Tennessee Volunteers. No, I'm just sure. I love you guys a whole lot. Hey, it's so good to be here. Let me tell you two things before we get started here. Number one, if you serve our church, I just want you to hear it from me right now. We are so grateful that you serve our church. Whether it's a Sunday morning, whether it's a small group, or whatever you do, thank you for helping us allow this ministry that's called Christ Fellowship to happen. And tonight, we're going to celebrate you. And we're calling this thing Volunpalooza, where it's really just a party to celebrate and give thanks for all of those that serve Christ Fellowship. So if you haven't signed up or you're kind of on the fence, I'm going to tell you, we want you to be there. Because what you do here, we want to celebrate that. And so if you serve in any capacity, we want to see you tonight at 4:30. Second thing, we've just got a few spots left for our Houston teams, and one that's coming up really soon. And so if you've got a little extra vacation and you want to make a difference, and I'm not talking like just kind of maybe make a difference, but I'm saying if you want to be on the ground and help someone who has just gone through a devastating season in their life, then I want to invite you to join one of our teams as we head down to Houston over the next 3 or 4 weeks. It will be amazing, and you'll get to express the love of God, not just in your conversation, but by working with your hands and by actually helping rebuild a city that just got devastated. And so I want to encourage you, if you have an able body and you have some time to join us, register online, and we would love to have you. Because what that is, at its core, that really is kind of a short-term mission trip, per se, right? We're going somewhere where there's some need, where there's destruction, where there is an opportunity to serve, and so we're going there to serve. And so really, as I view this team, it's really, the teams going down are really going on a short-term mission trip. How many of you have ever been on a mission trip, what we consider a mission trip? Yeah, many of you. You know, I've had the privilege of going stateside. My wife and I, when we were in college, we spent 10 weeks of our summer between my freshman and sophomore year on a mission trip with Campus Crusade for Christ, and we were sharing the gospel and getting jobs and doing some neat things. I've also had the chance to go to Argentina and do some work, and as of late, the last couple of years, I've had a chance to go to Kenya a few times. I had the privilege of preaching in Nairobi with a translator in Swahili, and that was amazing. It was such an opportunity. I've had the chance to wash Kenyan feet. I don't know if you've ever desired to do that, but I'll tell you, it's an amazing experience to humble yourself and to express to them, this is how much God loves you. This is what he did. The teacher, he got down on his knee and he washed his own disciples' feet to demonstrate to them his love for them, his compassion, but to also demonstrate, this is what it looks like to be my followers. You're going to serve one another. And so I've had some awesome experiences in Kenya. And what I love about missions is it changes our perspective. You know, we just get in this routine of, man, I got a check coming in, or I go to this restaurant, or I go to this church, and we've got AC, and we've got lights, and we've got, you know, crazy things that we can do. And we get in this mode, and sometimes it's really good for us just to pluck ourselves out of the norm and to place ourselves in a place that is totally different than what we have. It helps give us some perspective. It helps open our eyes up to say, man, like, what is God doing? Because it's not just what he's doing in Christ Fellowship. He is working all around this city, all around this world for his glory in a million different ways. And so when we step foot into a place where we're going to minister, it's an opportunity for us to change our perspective. And I'll never forget one of our friends in Kenya. His name is Lamech, and he's a brilliant young man, great business mind. And he and his family have run an orphanage for years in Nairobi, in the slums of Nairobi. And I'll never forget, he said, it's so funny, Derek, you know, when missionaries or when short teams come over to Kenya, this is what they want to take pictures of: goats and dark-skinned babies. He said, it's really weird. He said, just being honest. And then he said, this is what's weird, though. When the Kenyans go to America, this is what they want to take pictures of: their highways and their buildings. He said, it's so interesting when we get out of our normal everyday and step into a perspective that's different, what it does to us. Now today, I want us to continue this series that is called Whiteboard, where we've been looking at some different topics that we may know intellectually, but we struggle sometimes of say, what does it mean today? And so the subtitle is Truth for Today, and not Truth for 20 years ago, not Truth for 2,000 years ago, but in 2017, what are some of these things that we say as a church? What are some of these things that we ascribe to in our belief system? How do they really drill down? And so today I want to talk about this one thing here. I want us to talk about missions. Missions. What in the world is it? Is it purely just this thing where I step out of my culture and I step into another culture for a week? Is that what missions is? Is it me going and serving? Is it what is missions? And why does it matter to many of us who are not vocational missionaries? What does it matter? This is where I want us to go today. I want us to understand how this is part of who we are as followers of Jesus. That it's not something we go do. It's something that we're invited into. This is where I want us to go today, missions. And here's my definition, if you want to write this down, of missions, kind of our working missionary, a mission definition here. It's proclaiming and demonstrating the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God has not yet been fully realized. That's a lot of words there, so let me say it again. Missions, at its core, the essential aspect that we need to understand about mission, it is the proclamation and the demonstration. So what do I mean? I mean, it's the words that we use, but it's not just the words we use. It's also the way that we live, the way that we serve, the way that we interact with community. It's both of those coming together to express the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God is not fully expressed. And so we've talked about this the very first time we started this series, and we talked about the kingdom of God. This was Jesus' primary message when he came. He came preaching the kingdom of God, the good news that the king is here, and now he is bringing everything under his rule and reign. This is what I'm talking about. And so what missions is anywhere this is not fully realized, it's an opportunity for us to express the kingdom of God, which by nature, by definition, is missions. So I want to ask you a few questions this morning. And I'm going to give the answer ahead of time so we all can answer, okay? The answer is no. Are we good at that? Yeah, okay. Your two-year-old would be great in this sermon right here. Is the kingdom of God fully expressed in North Korea? Man, you guys are so good. Is the kingdom of God fully expressed in Nigeria? No. How about the Congo? How about in Nicaragua or Venezuela? No, right? So I think many of us would get behind that. We're like, yeah, like those are places we go to mission. But if we're talking about the rule and reign of God, like the nature of God, the character of God is being fully expressed. Is the kingdom of God, is it fully expressed in the Tri-Cities? No, it's not. Is the kingdom of God, is it fully expressed at your place of work? And some of you, like, you added an emphasis on that. Like, no way, right? Maybe we'll get a little closer to home, literally. Is the kingdom of God, is it fully being expressed and realized on the street or in your apartment or where you go to school? Is it there? No. You see, if we broaden our view and understanding of missions, it's so much bigger than me going somewhere to play Savior that we oftentimes do because I want to feel good about myself. It's so much bigger than just internationally, I'm going to go somewhere, or domestically, I'm going to go to something. Those things are good. And here at Christ Fellowship, we've got an international mission team, which we bless and we believe. And honestly, in a church this size, it would be foolish for us to think that some people in this church are not called to vocationally minister the gospel through missions. I really believe that if we're going to be a church that's aligned with Jesus, we're going to be sending out missionaries that are full-time into this world. I believe that. We've got a church this size. There's no way somebody in this room is not called to full-time mission. But it's not just international, and it's not just locally, like we're going to go down to serve in Houston, or I'm going to go serve at Oasis downtown. All of those things are included in missions, but that's not the fullness of what it's mission, because here's what happens if we view it as something we go do. It's really easy for me to hide behind something and to say, that's for you to do. Billy, you go to Houston, and man, I might write you a check, and yeah, I'm going to send you there, right? If we view missions as something that we go do, that somebody is in need, so I do it, it's really easy for me to make excuses. But If we view missions with this kind of understanding, that it is an opportunity for us to step in to express the kingdom of God where the kingdom of God is not expressed, that means that every place we go is an opportunity to express the goodness, the beauty, the love, the power of God. And that changes everything about how we interact with what we call missions. And so today, I want us to land specifically in the book of Genesis. So if you've got a Bible, if you've got an app on your phone, I want you to open it up to Genesis, specifically Genesis chapter 12. And we're going to set up shop primarily here today. We're going to jump around a little bit. But what I want us to see is that God's nature, at its core, he's always been a God that's on mission. And that's your first thing in your notes that I want you to write down is that God is on mission. And so I want us to understand, what is this mission? What is it about? And so early on in Genesis, we see some of the characteristics of God. So this is after, you know, Adam and Eve messed everything up, you know, all that good stuff. This is after all the people in Noah's day, they didn't want to get on the boat and they got flooded, and after the Tower of Babel and all these different languages, after all of this kind of chaos in mankind was happening, God begins to meet with this man named Abram, who many of us now refer to as Abraham because his name was actually adjusted. So God begins to meet with this man, Abram. And as we read this, I think you'll see something that's very interesting, that the mission of God didn't start when Jesus gave the Great Commission. That was really a continuation of what he planted way, 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 way back, all the way back in Genesis. And actually, even further back than this, he prophesied that there would be a Messiah that would come to take care of Satan. But fast forward a little bit to Genesis chapter 12, and we see some very strong language that God gives Abram, starting in verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" We see this really is the first time, very blatantly, this is the mission of God. He pulls a man, he says, "Hey, Abram, this is what's going to happen. My desire, my will is that all the families of the earth will be blessed." Now that word families, it means different kind of people groups. It doesn't just mean like literally families, like my last name's Harden and, you know, Seth's family. Actually, all the people, all the nations of the earth is probably a more accurate translation here. That God's desire is that every single person in all people groups would receive his blessing and his favor. And so we see from the very early stages that God is on mission. And what is that mission? It's really important for us to know this. His mission is to bring redemption and restoration. This is the mission of God, okay? If we miss this, we're missing everything. His purpose is to undo all that sin had unraveled. His purpose is to take back to the desired state, which was in the Garden of Eden. He wants to make all things right, just as it was in the beginning. That's God's mission. And he does that, first of all, by redeeming and restoring our relationship with him, right? So this is restored, but he's not done there. He also said the good news is that first you're going to be restored to your father, but also I came to restore you with your brothers and your sisters, other humans. This is his mission. This is his desire, that people that are in conflict would bring about reconciliation. This is God's desire, but it didn't even stop there. So it's a vertical, it's a horizontal restoration, but I believe as you read the scripture that the gospel, the good news, also restores mankind with non-human creation. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but God actually cares a lot about our world and how we handle it. He does, and I don't believe he's going to just blow it up someday. I think that he has given us dominion to restore and bring reconciliation. So if this is the heart of God to bring restoration and to bring about redemption, what does that look like? And I think we see it most clearly in the life of Jesus. I think when we want to know what God looks like, we can look at Jesus, all right? He was the complete, perfect vision of the Father. And so when Jesus comes, this is what we read in John 3:16, right? Because Tim Tebow put it on his eye black and everybody Googled it. All of us know that, right? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. What is that? That's a blessing. This is the hope. The mission of God came to a climax in the person of Jesus as he walked this earth. And what we see in it, it says that the Father loved you and me. He loved mankind so much that he gave, or that he sent, his own son. I want you to write this down. Missions requires movement. Missions require movement. If you want to stay stagnant and you want to stay comfortable, you're not going to be part of what God is doing on this earth. But missions, it requires movement. And we see that. He came to Abram. He said, Abram, listen, I'm going to have you move from your country, the people that you know, the family that you know, and I'm going to send you. What is that? That's movement. And what I love about God is he doesn't ask us to do what he's not willing to do, because we see this in the Father, right? It's the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus all in heaven in perfect communion. And what does the Father say? Hey, Jesus, this, by the way, is not found in the scripture exactly, but this is how I think about it. Jesus, I love them so much down there. It's time for you to go. And I'm going to send you to this world so that you can restore and redeem their relationship with me, their relationship with one another, and their relationship with non-human creation. And so, Jesus, I'm sending you. Go. Require movement. And then Jesus, he walked the earth with us. He lived here among us. He lived a perfect life. He died a death that he was not, he should not have died by the law, but he died it because he loved us. He raised again on the third day. And what did he do? He went back to heaven, and what did he do? He said, now I'm going to send who? The Holy Spirit, right? And so there's all about movement and missions, movement and missions. Abram, go. Jesus, now it's time for you to leave heaven and go to earth. Holy Spirit, now it's time for you to leave heaven and go to earth. And then what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our life? To empower us and to equip us to not just huddle up in some holy huddle where we feel good about ourselves and we can give high fives. And the purpose of us gathering together, to be filled with the Spirit, to be encouraged, and then to what? Go. As you go into the world. And so we see this consistently throughout the scriptures, that missions requires movement, and God doesn't do what he's not willing to do himself, that he himself sent his son, that he sent his Holy Spirit, and now by the power of his Spirit, he is sending us out to go to places where the kingdom of God is not fully demonstrated for us to see it happen. God is on mission. This is his hope. Have you ever considered missions this way? Have you ever thought of the bigness of what God is doing and the fact that he has invited us into it? The second thing I want you to write down in your notes is that this mission, it is not a solo mission. It's not just a solo mission. So we see this in Genesis chapter 12. It says, I will bless you. Who is participating in this mission? God and Abram, right? This is what we see. Now, what I love about God and what so blows my mind is that he can do anything, right? Like literally, he could do anything. Something about football. It would not be good here. God can do anything, right? And we sing that and we believe that, but that really is true. By his nature, he can do anything. And yet, even though he's on mission, he says, I'm not going to do it by myself. Have you ever thought about that? He looks at men and women who are imperfect, just like me, my goodness, and every one of us here, by the way, and he invites us into his mission. Think about that. And not only does he invite us into the mission, he doesn't just say, hey, church, Christ Fellowship, here's the mission. Bring the kingdom of God to the Christ cities, and oh, by the way, catch me on the back end when we meet in eternity. He said, it's not a solo mission. I'm not going to do this myself. I'm actually going to invite you, but oh, by the way, I've invited you in, and I'm not going to leave you there. I'm actually going to be with you. I will bless you that so you can be a blessing. I'm going to be walking with you in this. This is a partnership. This is a co-laboring to bring about the kingdom of God where it isn't currently. And so we see this encouragement that it is not a mission for us to own, because if you've ever been in a church where some pastor gets up and makes you feel terrible that you're not a full-time missionary. Anybody else ever been in that kind of church? Yeah, I've been there. Like you feel bad that you have a car to drive to church when you leave. You're like, what in the world? Like I need to, right? No, listen, we don't do that. I don't want us to ever manipulate or ever abuse or use words to try to control people. We don't subscribe to that kind of theology here. But what we need to understand is, man, God is on mission, and what he's doing, he's inviting us into a mission. And that's what I love about this, because we can get so wrapped up in doing things for God that we miss out on the purpose of mission, which is communion with God. Have you ever thought about that? The purpose of God saying, hey, I'm gonna send you into the world, is because when I send you in the world, I'm gonna be with you and you're gonna rely on me. And guess what that's gonna do? That's gonna build my relationship with the Father. Missions at its core is an invitation to relationship. That is what it is. He says, I'm not gonna leave you alone. This is what we read in Matthew 28, the Great Commission, which every pastor has preached a message on that tries to get people to do what God has told them to do, to make disciples, and it's great, and that's all true. But the very end of that passage, if you look in your notes, the very end of that passage, verse 20, Jesus tells them, go make disciples, baptize them. But then he says, and behold, I love that. He says, wait, listen. I am with you always to the end of the age. You know, sometimes we don't read the scripture far enough to get to there. He says, listen, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go into all the world and you're going to baptize them and you're going to teach them my teachings. But here's the good part. Here's the place where the pressure is off. I'm not sending you in there on solo mission. I'm with you. I'm going with you. I've gone before you and I'm going to come behind you. That brings so much freedom in our life when we recognize it is not a solo mission for us to own, but we are invited into a relationship with God, where he's already moving and he's saying, hey, come join me. So what would it look like if we began to think about God's mission as an invitation to relationship? That he's saying, listen, I want the kingdom of God to come, but I'm gonna do it with you. I don't want you to try to do it on your own, and I'm not gonna do it without you. This is my plan. It's actually coming through you. I heard a pastor say, we are plan A and there is no plan B with the Great Commission. That's true. But that's not a pressure. That's a saying, man, God wants to partner with me in doing that. I had a friend in Houston. He was going through some struggles and different things. And we started meeting once a week in the evening at Starbucks to discuss some of the things that he was going through. And he just felt really dry. He had been following Jesus for a long time and solid man, great in business. He was having lots of success in his private equity firm that he was working on. He was raising lots and lots of money. But he just felt empty, and maybe you can relate. I've been there many times, just dry. Man, I show up to church, it feels like I'm praying to the ceiling, or when I pray to the walls, like there's nothing, it just bounces around, and I'm like, what in the world? So he was going through this, and he was struggling with some sin things in his life, and so he started to say, man, I feel like there's more that God wants to do at my work than I realize. And so we started praying about it, and we started just having some conversation about it, and as the conversation, I said, hey, buddy, what would happen if you just began to go to your work a little early and you walked around your office where all these, you know, big shot guys are coming in with lots of money and VPs and partners and all that stuff. And what if you got there early and you made it your purpose was to pray over your entire office and your coworkers? I said, what do you think God would do with that? And he's like, man, I think God might like that. Oh my goodness. That's great. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I think he might respond to that. That's faith. That's us acting God. And so my buddy, brilliant man, he just said, that's what I'm gonna do. And he started showing up at his office. Now, if you knew Houston traffic, you would know why people get up at 4 a.m. to miss it. But he would wake up to miss Houston traffic and he would get into his office before anybody else was there. And he would just walk around this office and he would pray for God's will to be done, for the kingdom of God to break in. And that somehow he would be part of what God is doing in that place. And he'd pray over his coworkers before they were there. He'd open up his scripture at his office where he would be spending the next, you know, 10 hours working. He would open it up and he would read in the morning. He'd have some devotional he'd read. And he just kept going, God, I believe you're at work here and I just want to be part of it. And a few weeks after he started this, I got this jubilant text message from him that he was just, my goodness, he was so excited. And he said, you'll never guess what happened. He said, I went in and prayed. And I studied a specific passage that I felt like the Lord was leading me to. And so I studied it and I knew it. And he said, later in the day, I was walking around the office and one of the partners, one of the big shots at my office, they said, hey, step in here. And he stepped into the door and shut the door behind him and he sat down. And the guy says, hey, I know that you're a Christian. And he was like, man, am I going to get fired? Like, what's that mean? Like, that's not always a good way to start. And he said, I heard something that bothered me. And he shared it with him, whatever that was that this guy had struggled with, that he heard. And what's so amazing, and why my friend was so excited, is that morning he was sitting and reading in a passage that specifically answered this guy's request, like right on the money. And he was so encouraged. He said, listen, it's like God is already at work. And I said, yeah, because he is. Our job and missions is not to control and do something. Our job and mission is to say yes to God and to find out what he's doing and for us to join him. This is what my friend found out in real life, that when we position ourselves to say yes to God, we have no idea what he would do. And this began a relationship with that man and him. And then another gentleman who was even a bigger shot than this guy, he said, hey, I want to take you out to lunch. And this man began to share with him that he had all the money, millions and millions and millions of dollars, yet he had zero relationship with his kids, and it was breaking him. Millionaire, had done all kinds of things, but his kids wouldn't even talk to him. And he says, I don't know what to do. Now you tell me, did that make a difference that my friend spent time in prayer saying, God, use me? I think so. So what would it look like if we would stop trying to do, and we would ask this crazy question of God, what are you doing? And have the humility to join him. What would that look like in your life? God is on mission. It is not a solo mission. It's an invitation for us to join him. The last thing I want you to write in your notes is that we offer what we have received. We offer what we have received. This is what Abram was told to do. Listen, the father says, I'm gonna bless you. I'm gonna give you. I'm gonna let you receive from me. And this is the purpose, Abram, for you to offer it up to somebody else to be a blessing. You've heard this before. I've been blessed to be a blessing, right? We love that saying in America, right? Well, God says, this is actually my idea. I'm gonna bless you, not so you can just build your own kingdom and to do your own thing and to feel good. I'm actually gonna bless you with all kinds of spiritual and financial blessings so that you can then overflow and offer that to others. This is what it looks like to be on mission. We just give to God what we've already been given. We give to others, we offer to others what we have received. And in your notes, the last thing I want you to look at is the passage in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 20. If you want to flip over there, you can. This is Paul writing to the church of Corinth, and this is exactly what he gets to. And I love how he writes this. And there's some great truth in here. So this is chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, verse 17. It's therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Did anybody hear what I just said? Somebody excited about that? If anybody is in Christ, he is a new creation. He is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us, if you've got your Bible underlined, he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And everybody said amen to that again. Entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. Do you see what Paul is saying? Paul is saying, listen, guys, Don't live like you're dead. Remember, Christ, he raised you up from the dead. And by doing so, he reconciled you to the Father. He made right what was wrong. He took on your sin and he reconciled and restored your relationship with God. He says, what you've been given, he says, now offer to others. Offer this message of reconciliation. Offer this gift. And this is what I think boils down to mission, because what he says later, he says, listen, because you're an ambassador of Christ. Do you know what that means? It means you're a representative of Christ. If somebody in your coworkers or your family want to know what Jesus looks like, an aspect of Jesus, they should be able to look at your life and say, man, there's not all the things right there. At least that's not, you know, my life's not all right. But I see something different. Because we're ambassadors of Christ. We are offering the world what we have received. This is what it looks like to follow Christ. We give what we have been given. And the last example I'll tell you real quick is one of the trips when I went to Kenya, one of my good friends, Steve, went with me. And Steve is a tatted up guy. He's got big gauges in his ears. Not a guy that you would necessarily think of, unfortunately, in our culture, that would be a church leader or go into missions. I hate that. Absolutely hate that stereotyping. But this is Steve. He's one of my best friends, killing it in his business in the tattoo industry. But he goes on this mission trip with me, and we get to Kenya, and you know, he's got tattoos because you can't take away tattoos. You guys know that, right? And he's got gauges in his ears, and so you can't just kind of zip them up. So they're there. and we're going around and we're ministering, and everybody, it's like I'm walking with a circus. Like, everybody's looking at this guy, like, are they gonna kill us or are they just interested? Like, it was so interesting. And then we got to a certain part of Kenya that are known as the Maasai Mara kind of area, but it's the Maasai tribe. They're one of the 41 tribes, I think, in Kenya. And one of the unique aspects about this people group, this tribe, is that they are known to have big holes in their ears. And so some of them were hanging down their earlobes to their shoulders. And my friend, Steve, is walking around, and he's got big ears, or big holes in his ears. And all of these men who are, you know, shepherds and whatnot, they're looking at him. And once again, we're like, are we going to get in trouble? Like, is they going to, like, what's going to happen? And then a couple of them got bold enough, and they came over and started a conversation in broken English. And they looked at my very white tattooed friend, and they said, are you a Maasai? And my friend didn't miss a beat. He said, white Maasai. And that opened up the door for us to have a conversation with them that we wouldn't have had otherwise. You see, my friend was wired by God. He was made by God in a beautiful way. This is how he expresses his heart. This is how he does it. And so for us to say, man, God made me this way. This is what it looks like to be on mission. I'm going to offer up to the world what God has given me. Maybe it's the hope that I've got through Christ. Maybe it's the forgiveness that I've received from God. I'm going to give that up. That's what mission looks like. But also maybe God wired you to be an engineer. God wired you to be a problem solver. God wired you to be a lover. God wired you to be a nurturer. God wired you in some way. What it looks like for you to be on mission is for you to offer this up to the world. What you've received, we give away. This is what it looks like. This is what we see throughout the scriptures. So I would ask you this morning, what have you been given? What have you received from Christ? What is your hope? What do you think of when you think of Christ? Your forgiveness, your mercy, your grace, your love that you've received. How would it look for you to give that away, to offer that to your coworkers, to your family, to your neighborhood? What would it look like? What would it look like for you to offer up your position at work? To see what God would do. I guarantee you, missions is much more than just a trip. It's what God is doing all around us to bring restoration and redemption. So what if you looked at missions that way? What if it was an opportunity for you to get to know God even better by saying yes to him and seeing him work in your life as you partner with him?